Matthew, then you got Mark, and that's chapter 2, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 18. Read down through 22. We'll read those responsively in just a moment, and I'll read, that means I read the even-numbered verses. You read those odd verses, 19 and 21, with me, and then we'll have a special and get into the message after a special. Let's stand together, please, in honor of the Word of God, all right? Mark chapter 2, verse number 18. Here's what our Bible says, "And the disciples of John and of the Pharisees used to fast. And they come and say unto him, Why do the disciples of John and of the Pharisees fast, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, Can the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. No man also seweth a piece of new cloth on an old garment, else the new piece that filled it up taketh away from the old, and the rent is made worse. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine doth burst the bottles, and the wine is spilled, and the bottles will be marred. But new wine must be put into new bottles." Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you so much for your ever-living word. And I'm glad that it lives this morning. I'm glad that we have a copy of your living word in our Bible that we hold in the hand today. Now, Lord, we're going to open its pages and get into some verses there, and we need your help to get something out of it. So, Holy Spirit of God, will you be our portion for the one who's speaking and for all of us who will be listening, and give us an attentive ear, an attentive heart. And, Lord, may the Word of God have good results in our hearts today. We'll thank you for it. We love you, Lord. Bless the song, the singer, and the message to follow in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you.
Remember times when times were bad, but I am so glad for every moment that I've spent in His hand, in His hand, in His hand. But through everyone we all can stand if we're in His hand. So are the trials there is no cause for fear in His hand. In His hand there's only safety. Nothing there.
Now, look at Mark chapter 2 and verse number 22. I'm going to read that verse one more time for us. "And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine doth burst the bottles, and the wine is spilled, and the bottles will be marred. But new wine must be put into new bottles." Now, I'm going to give you the interpretation of the passage, and we'll make some application from it this morning. And I want to bring a message entitled, "Tab A is made to fit into slot A." Tab A is made to fit into slot A. Did you ever assemble something for your children? Did you keep your salvation? Amen. I remember the first time I assembled the... Remember the old style swing sets? The big old poles, you know, the round poles, and you had to slide those things. And then you get those other things. And how many Christmas mornings have been ruined by impatient dads trying to fit, you know, the wrong tab in the wrong slot? You know what I mean? Tab A is made to fit into slot A. I'm not going to preach to you about putting swing sets together, okay? But that's my illustration. And let's pray together, and then we'll get into the message this morning. Dear Father, I pray that you'll please give us grace as we get into your word, speak to our hearts. Thank you, God, for what you've done in so many lives in this room. Lord, you've changed a lot of people. You changed me, and I thank you for that. God changed a lot of lives. I pray that you'll help us this morning to get something to take home with us. Be a very practical message toward the end. So, Lord, help us to listen, pay attention. May the Spirit of God have His way in our hearts, please, in Christ's name. And amen. In this passage, some men approach Jesus Christ with a question about the matter of fasting. Understand, their question about the matter of fasting was based upon the Old Testament law and rituals and ceremonies, the Old Covenant, if you will. Some of these men were disciples of John the Baptist. Others of them were followers of the Pharisees, who were very studied in the Old Testament law and ceremonies and rituals and traditions and so forth and so on. Now, you see their question in verse number 18. Why do the disciples of John and the Pharisees fast, but thy disciples fast not? Now, this was a question that was evidently asked in the proper spirit and the proper attitude. Jesus did not belittle them for their question. He did not belittle them for asking the question. He answered it, and he answered it thoroughly. In fact, three of the Gospels, this is interesting to me. You know, you got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Several things are recorded only once in each of the Gospels, one or more of the Gospels. A couple things are mentioned in two of the Gospels. There are very few things that are mentioned in three of the Gospels. This passage is found in three out of the four Gospels, and then there are very few things that are mentioned in all four Gospels, okay? But this one story and this one conversation that took place between these men and Jesus is mentioned in three out of the four Gospels, okay? Jesus answered their question with three illustrations, okay? He answered their question with three illustrations to show why his disciples were not in the habit of fasting at this particular time. The first illustration is really the key to understanding all of them. All right? Look at verse number 19 and 20. Jesus said unto them, "Can the children," this is his first illustration, "can the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast, but the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days." He uses an illustration from a wedding party. He says you've got the bridegroom, and the bridegroom is with all of his wedding party. He's with all of his stand-ups. And he said, wouldn't it be unusual if while the bridegroom was at the wedding party with all of his, at a party with all of his wedding party and his invited guests and his stand-ups, if somebody was kind of long-faced and not eating and saying, "No, I don't want anything to eat. No, I don't want anything to drink," and standing over in a corner and kind of morbid and meditative. He said, that would be an unusual thing. He said, while the bridegroom is with the bridal party, while the bridegroom is with his stand-ups, while they're having this party, he said, man, there is festivity and there's joy and there's merriment and there's rejoicing. He said, fasting and mourning would not be appropriate at that time. It would not be fitting then. Did you ever have a party for one child and another child was pouting? You're having a party for one child and you got an immature child who just kind of, because it's not for them. It's hard for them to be happy because it's not their party. And so, you know, what's sad is when they're 22 doing that. I've seen that. I've seen that in this church. I've seen that sometimes in wedding parties where you got 20 and 22-year-old brothers and sisters and their brothers and sisters getting married and they can't have a good, you know. That's not appropriate. It doesn't fit at a wedding. You're supposed to be happy.
Okay? Jesus said, you know, one of these days the bridegroom will be gone. And when the bridegroom is gone, then they'll fast. Not that they'll be mourning, but they'll be more meditative. Maybe they won't be as festivus, the festivities won't be as raucous as they are. But he said, one of these days, the bridegroom, but now, when the bridegroom is with the wedding party, it's a time of festivity and joy and rejoicing. It would not fit them to be sorrowful and mourning. That's his first illustration. Second illustration, verse number 21. He continues, no man also, he's continuing on here. No man also seweth a piece of new cloth on an old garment. Else the new piece that filled it up, the hole that is, taketh away from the old, and the rent is made worse. So he uses the example of a tailor repairing a torn piece of clothing. The torn piece of clothing is old. It's been washed. It's stretched. And then it's shrunk in the dryer, and then it's stretched again, and it's shrunk, if you will, and the old cloth is worked back and forth and worked back and forth, and it's stretched and dried, and, you know, it has some flexibility. Now you get you put a rent into an old garment that's been flexed and stretched and dried, and then you put a new piece of cloth that's never been stretched and expanded and dried and constricted and put it in there. Well, the first time it shrinks, it's going to rip away from the old garment. He said, you don't take a new piece of cloth and repair an old. It doesn't fit. It doesn't fit. You find a piece of cloth that's been stretched a little bit and worn, and you use it to repair the tear in the garment. That's the second illustration. The third illustration is in verse number 22. He says, no man putteth new wine into old bottles. Else the new wine doth burst the bottles, and the wine is spilled, and the bottles will be marred, but new wine must be put in the new bottles. Now, in Jesus' day, skins of animals were used to hold water or juice or whatever the liquid they were trying to carry or keep was. They'd take goat skins. They'd take a goat skin and sew it together, you know, and sometimes they'd sew two pieces of it together and throw it over the camel, throw it over the horse, and it would hold the liquid. He said, now, if you've got new juice, if you've got new wine, the fresh juice of the vine, he said, man, that vine, that juice is going to swell in that container, going to be out in the sun, and that it's going to be active in there and so forth. He said, if you've got old skins, they're going to burst. When the juice begins to swell, the old skins are going to tear open and burst, and the wine is going to spill out. He said, if you've got fresh juice, he said, you've got to put it in a fresh skin. A new bottle, okay? One that will expand and contract. This is just kind of the opposite of the garment illustration. He said, that's what you need to do. Now, he said, it wouldn't be appropriate. It would be out of place. It would be inappropriate. It would be out of place for someone at a wedding party to have a long, serious, somber face and not participate in the eating and the drinking. That would be completely out of place. Wouldn't fit. He said it wouldn't fit or be appropriate to take a new piece of cloth and put it in a tear that's in an old piece, an old garment. And then he said it wouldn't be proper, it wouldn't be appropriate, it wouldn't fit, wouldn't work to take fresh juice and put it into old skins. What he's teaching here, you have to fit tab A into slot A. Tab A isn't made to fit into slot B. Now, the interpretation here of this is that Jesus came to introduce a new covenant. The Old Testament, they operated under the Old Covenant, the Old Testament law, all the rituals and the ceremonies. Now, I'm going to stop for just a minute to say this. Don't take that to mean that all the Old Testament law is outdated and can never be referred to, can never be used as a pattern of living as far as morality goes. No. That's still intact. Truth of the matter is, when Jesus came, he didn't lower the moral code, he raised it. Okay? I'm talking about all the rituals, all the ceremonies. Jesus said, you can't take the principles and truths of the new covenant and put them in with the principles and truths of the old covenant. They won't fit. The new covenant's not made to fit into the old covenant. The new covenant is made to replace the old covenant. Okay, that's the interpretation of the passage here. But I want to make an application to those of us living in this day and age about you got to fit tab A into slot A. Tab A is not made to fit into slot B. It's not appropriate to put tab A into slot C. It's not appropriate to put tab A into slot B. You've got to put tab A into slot A because it's made to fit. It's made to fit. Now look at verse number 22. Look at the last line of verse number 22. He said, new wine must be put into new bottles. You see that? He said tab A must be put into slot A. Tab A is made to fit into slot A. Now, what's he teaching here? What's the application? There's a lot of types in the Bible, a lot of typology. New wine, oftentimes, many times, is a type of salvation. The bottle would be me and you, or more specifically, our lifestyle. And Jesus said, you don't take salvation and put it in an old lifestyle that was void of salvation. It does not fit. It is not appropriate. It doesn't go together. You take salvation and you put new wine, you put salvation, you put new life into a new lifestyle. And if you put new life into a new lifestyle, it fits. It's made to fit. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. New creature. Isn't that good? Once you get saved, you become a new person. You're a new creature. Now, wait a minute, folks. Listen very carefully. Salvation doesn't do anything to the old nature. We still got it. The tendencies to lie and be selfish and to fulfill the desires and lust of the flesh is still with us. Oh, yes, it is. That's why it's so incredibly important that you put the new life into a new lifestyle. If you try to put the new life into the old lifestyle was designed for the desires of the flesh. The desires of the old nature. And it won't work. You have to take the new life given you in Christ Jesus, that salvation, and put it into a new lifestyle. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That was the theme verse for the boys' home where I got saved. 2 Corinthians 5:17. And by the way, you remember the story I told over and over again here through the years about Gus Saunders, the guy that Mike Hagee got out of bed with the cattle prod? I came to church Friday morning for the spelling bee. I came earlier than that for something else. And I walked into the office to check the correspondence, whatever was in my tray. And here was a letter in my tray from a Saunders in Hayes, Virginia. I said, this can't be. I opened it up and said, I hope this is the Terry Angel that I knew 30 years ago. Gus Saunders wrote me a letter. I don't know if he heard the message on the internet where I talked. He started reminding me of all these things that happened. I mean, stuff I had never told you. I remembered them, but I probably shouldn't tell. Amen. He broke a guy's jaw in a fight one time. It was a pretty rough and tumble boys' home. It really was. And he wrote me. He said, Terry, he said, didn't get saved. He left, ran away. The Pikeville County, Tennessee Sheriff, Bull Nipper was his name. Bull Nipper caught him and brought him back to the home. And then he wouldn't stay, and he left, and he didn't get saved. He said he got saved in 1988. He is now a faithful deacon in a Baptist church in Virginia, teaching Sunday school. I was shouting. I couldn't believe it. I got to write him back. I'd like to have him come out here sometime so you guys can meet him. I mean, it's incredible. I never thought any other guy survived it. It's for the Lord, but he did. Amen. That's exciting to me. Now, yes, 2 Corinthians 5:17. That's where I was. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You get a new, listen now, you get new life. You get new life. When you get saved, you don't get a new chance in life. You get new life. It's a birth. It's brand new life. A life that corresponds and fellowships and communicates with God, the creator, maker of the universe. You've been given new life. Now, you can't take that new life and fit it into the old lifestyle. Won't work. Won't work. See, listen, don't turn to it. Acts 11:26. In Acts 11:26, the Bible says that the people, that the Christians, that the disciples who were there, let me read it for you. Let me just get there. Acts 11:26, I forgot to write it out longhand, and I don't want to misquote it for you. Let me read it here. Acts 11 and verse 26. Isn't that horrible? I'm wasting all this time. Here we go. And when he had found him, he brought him into Antioch. Now, listen to this. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church, Paul and Barnabas with the church there, and taught much people. Here it is. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. That's where the term originated. Antioch. Okay, now, let me tell you what did not happen. They did not, the disciples did not get together and say, what should we call ourselves? Well, let's call ourselves believers. Let's call ourselves Jesus followers. Let's call ourselves... No, they didn't get together and come up with a name. The Bible says the people in Antioch called them Christians. The people who were not members of the church, the people who were not born again, the people who were not following Christ, called those folks, the unsaved world, named the disciples Christians, which means Christ once. Christ once. Let me ask you a question. Could the people in Antioch who gave them that name, could they see into the disciples' hearts? It's not a trick question. No. You can't see anybody's heart. Could those people in Antioch, the ones who named those disciples and called them Christians, could they see into their thought life? Could they see their motives? No. But the people in Antioch could see the disciples' lifestyle. They could see their behavior. They could hear their talk. They could see that their lifestyle was different. They could see that their lifestyle was like Christ, like Jesus. So the lost people called them Christ ones, Christians. They had new life, and they put that new life into a new lifestyle. They put new wine into new bottles. And I'm going to tell you, when you fit tab A into slot A, it's made for each other. New wine belongs in new bottles. New life belongs in a new lifestyle. You know, and I'm not saying, oh boy, you mean I don't have to go to work tomorrow? I'm not talking about that. I'm sorry. Yeah, you still got to go to work. And you still got to pay your bills. And you still got to mow your grass. And you got to trim your bushes. And you got to wash the dishes. And you got to vacuum the floor and paint the house and take care of everything. And, you know, take medicine when you get sick and get new tires for the car when they go bad. Oh, man, sounds like the same old lifestyle to me. No. It's the same work and effort and all of that, the same day after day. But it's a new lifestyle. It's new life in a new lifestyle. There are some things about the old lifestyle that your new life won't fit in. Okay, you with me so far? Now, we've had a good time, haven't we? Yeah. You just remember, we've had a good time, all right? Let me give you some thoughts. New life salvation won't fit, number one, in the old music. Now, I gave you the interpretation. I gave you an application. Now, I'm going to get very practical with you. Salvation, new life, won't fit in the old music. Won't fit. Salvation doesn't fit into rap music. And the black folks don't need to take that as a slap at your culture. It doesn't fit into rock and roll either. Okay? It doesn't fit into country and western. Aha! Now you cut real close to the fence post, didn't you? Yeah, because I don't like that guitar. I don't like that rock and roll stuff, but it's like that old country, you know. Yeah. No, it doesn't fit into that either. It doesn't fit into the blues. It doesn't fit. That kind of music won't feed or fertilize your new life. That's like trying to fit tab A into slot B. It won't fit. The Bible says that salvation, our new life in Christ, is enhanced by psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And He walks with me and He talks with me and He tells me I am His own. Yeah, but Brother Angel, that just doesn't do anything for my foot. Sure does a whole lot for your heart, though. Sure does a whole lot for your heart. and he tells me I am his. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. Glory to God. I believe in that old rugged cross. I forget the words, but they're good, okay? Oh man, that's what feeds salvation.
Hey.
Now let me say, if you're newly saved or if you've been saved for a long time and slipped back into the old lifestyle, that happens. Get you some good music. Get you some psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Songs that sing about Christ. Songs that sing about heaven. Man, you want to encourage your heart. Are you going through a time of depression? Get up in the morning and open the shades. Put the blinds all the way up. Let the light in and put a CD or a tape on about heaven and let it fill the house with songs about heaven. Keep the windows shuttered and all the light out. Put on some morbid music. Songs that sing about Christ. Songs that sing about heaven. Songs that sing about comfort, about salvation, about victory, about grace. Not songs that sing about the tavern picking up some girl, picking up some guy, going off with somebody, meeting the old teenage girl or boyfriend while their spouse is at home. New life in Christ doesn't fit that kind of stuff. Throw that old stuff out. Throw it out. Don't give it to somebody. Burn it. I remember years ago, I taught a series of lessons on rock music at Marion Avenue. And Brother Brown, I started off in the teenage class teaching it. Brother Brown heard about it. He said, I wanted to see the material. And I showed him and he said, bring it to the church. And we started teaching on Sunday nights at 6:30 before the 7:30 service in those days. And I remember one man, all of a sudden people came and they started bringing records. And that's in the days when they had record players still, you know, and 8 tracks and so forth. And I mean, smashing those things and breaking them up on the pulpit. We had a rock music break-in one Sunday night. I mean, just smashed it all over the platform. You say, well, that's a little bit fanatical, isn't it? No, that's a little bit right. You want to take new life and put it into a new lifestyle. You want to take new wine and put it into a new bottle. I tell you, that new life in Christ is not going to get fed on that country and western stuff, singing about satin sheets and all that junk. Amen, that's right. I'm trying to be a help to everybody this morning. Number one. Number two, the old music won't work. The new life won't fit in the old music. That's tab A in the slot C. Number two, old reading material. That new life won't fit into old reading material. You'll not be able to nurture your life, your salvation, with National Enquirer. Oh, but Brother Angel, didn't you know that in Venus, Adam and Eve had twin sons? And one of them mutated and became a dinosaur. And I mean, it was... Where did you read that? The National Enquirer, man. I've seen some of the most incredible headlines. To me, it's hilarious. To me, it's better than the comic page in the newspaper. Huh? Hilarious. And, you know, in any of these type magazines that are out there looking around for the smut lives of the Hollywood movie stars... Why would you want to know about that anyway? Huh? What I want to know about them. I don't need to know about Tom Cruise. Scientology. How do you that know? What does that do for salvation? Doesn't do anything for my new life. Pornographic magazines or books, romance novels, all those Hollywood tabloids, I mean, so full of junk. You can't take new life in Christ, slide that into a lifestyle that's made up of that junk. It won't work, folks. It won't work. Matthew 4:4. Jesus said this, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. This book right here, the Word of God, is made to accommodate salvation. It's made to nurture salvation. It'll bring salvation. It's got life. This book does. It'll help your salvation. This book will grow you in faith. It will nurture your faith. It will strengthen your faith. You want to take that new life in Christ, tab A, and you want to slide it into slot A. Get in this good God-breathed book and you'll not regret it. I mean, get into it. I can't stress enough the importance of you having a time every day where you at least just read one chapter. If you're new to salvation, read one. And you might hear somebody else say, man, I've been reading 16 chapters. Maybe they're voracious readers. Not everybody reads at the same level. Don't try to be somebody else. Be you. Be the new you. And just read one chapter, but do it every day, consistently. Put your salvation into a lifestyle that's made to accommodate it. I told you this was plain. It's really plain, isn't it? But it's one reason why we have so many unhappy Christians. We got new wine in old bottles. Number three, old places. Old places. If you try to take salvation to the bar, it's not going to work, folks. You try to take salvation to the casino at the riverboat, it's not going to work. Not going to work. You try to take salvation to the rock concert, it's not going to work. Doesn't fit. Slot tab A is not made to fit into slot B. You know what's at the old places so many times? Old faces. Drinking buddies. Dope smoking buddies. Dancing buddies. Dirty joke telling buddies. Salvation doesn't fit with that, folks. Salvation changes you from that. So you've got to be careful about the old places. You know where salvation flourishes? You know where it flourishes? Right here. Man, right here. It just flourishes. Well, I want to be a good Christian at home. I want you to be a good Christian at home, too. I want to be a good Christian at work. I want you to be a good Christian at work, too. I'm going to tell you what you're going to need to be a good Christian at home and work is church. It'll build you, man. It'll strengthen you. It'll build you, strengthen you, make you. I'm excited about being saved, to fellowship with each other and to sing these songs. Man, what a blessing. A good Bible-believing church with good music, has a good book to preach from, good fellowship. I love Brother Caleb was telling about one of the folks who's been saved not too long ago and life really starting to change and grow in the Lord. Said he called the other day to talk to him and got the voicemail. He said, I'm not available right now. There's a lot of changes taking place in my life. If you're part of the changes, I probably won't be calling you back. I love it. I love it. That's what I'm talking about this morning. That's new life and a new lifestyle. That's new wine in a new bottle. That'll work. Sure it will. Absolutely. He said, well, I think I need to reach them and witness to them. I do too. But I'm going to tell you, I would caution you, if you came out of a life where a couple of vices, a couple of habits had a real grip on you, you be careful about plunging back into that arena. Take somebody with you. Grab Brother Caleb. Grab Brother Mike, Brother Jason. Say, come on, go with me and witness to this. Witness to my old friend. Okay? Caleb gets drunk, I have to fire him. Amen? So. I'm serious as a heart attack about that. New wine and the new bottles, new life into a new lifestyle. Old music, old reading material, old places. Number four, old communication. Old communication. What's that? Chat rooms, MySpace, internet. Is you give it to those teenagers. I'm not talking to teenagers. I'm talking to women. You know, last time I got on this in the church service, somebody came up after and said, boy, I really appreciate that for the teenagers, preacher, but next time you might want to talk to the ladies. There's a bunch of women in this church on chat rooms. I said, you're kidding me. Who in the world has time in this church for a chat room? I suggest you find something better to do. Get a life. Put your computer in the trash can. And get a life. You're kidding me. On MySpace.com and all this nonsense? Women in this church? You want me to come down real hard on the men about internet sites that aren't proper, but you're going to get on that thing and chat away with people you don't know? Now it is quiet in here, isn't it? Now we've gone from a real happy spirit to a real tight spirit all of a sudden here. We just did it. But that's all right. I'm feeling good, man. 10 minutes, I'm going home, eat a tomato sandwich, I'll be happy the rest of the afternoon. Amen. You're teasing me. And by the way, I didn't go asking who. My Barney Fife detective magnifying glass. I'm not going to do that. I got more important things to do, run around with a magnifying glass, see what woman's on the chat room. But if you're doing that, lady, you need to get a life. How about instead of a chat room, get a prayer list? That might work. That kind of goes along with that new bottle, doesn't it? Old communication, radio programs, you got to watch it, folks. You got to watch it. TV programs, you got to be careful. You got to be careful. I'm talking about taking the new life that's been given you in Christ Jesus and putting it into a new lifestyle. Hey, Brother Angel, this is so good for people who are just newly saved. This is so real helpful. Let me tell you, this is good for any age Christian. Care if you've been saved for 3 months, 3 weeks, or 30 years. This is good. At no point in time during our Christian life can we take salvation and put it in an old lifestyle. No point in time. And that's what happens to some. And that's why you see a joyful Christian just all of a sudden just lose it. Lose their joy, lose their smile, lose their happiness, lose their productivity in the Christian life. You can almost always trace it back to they've taken that new life that they received in Christ 30 years ago and it's still new. You hear that? It's still new. And stick it into an old bottle. The old bottle's not made for it. Doesn't work. Well, Pastor, I'm saved and I drink, and I got all my old rock and roll CDs. You know what Ben told my wife yesterday? He's so disgusted right now. He said, he'd been over there in that language school, and he said a bunch of those missionaries, they drink, they go to places of entertainment, and their life, they carry on, and they give each other cigars. Got a college graduate, single girl over there, studying the language to be a missionary and sent some boy a box of cigars. Huh? And we got so much of this Christianity that just fits so good drinking and fits so good. You know, it just fits right in with my alcohol and my gentlemen's clubs and my filthy television and my filthy internet. I'm saved like that guy on the plane jabbered all the way back from Washington. Yeah. Oh, my pastor, this Baptist preacher I know, he goes to the clubs with us. I'm going to tell you something. Listen real close to what I'm about to say. I lived in Iowa 10 years. I saw thousands of hogs. Tens of thousands of hogs. I never saw an unhappy hog in a mud puddle. They belly up in those mud puddles and get down there and almost get a smile on their face. They look so comfortable in that stuff. That's because that's their what? That's their nature. They're at home in that junk, man. You've been through a barnyard, a farm lot? That's nasty. Ugh. And pig smell will get on you quicker than any smell. You can't walk in a farrowing house, turn around and walk out without smelling like a hog. That's true. They'll belly up in that stuff. I never one time saw a sheep bellied up in a mud puddle. I saw sheep get dirty, but I never saw them belly up in a mud hole. You ever seen a sheep bellied up in a mud puddle? It's not their what? I'm saved, Pastor, but I go to taverns, I drink, man, I run around with my wife, my husband, man, I watch them. Not happy as I can be in this world. You're not saved. You're not saved. You're not born again. I don't care what you say. I know what my Bible teaches. You're not born again. You might get in a mud hole, but if you're saved, you won't enjoy it. I'm not saying Christians never get in mud holes. I've been in a couple myself since I got saved. I didn't enjoy it. I flipped on the rock music over at Dave Scruggs' house after I got saved. I was saved 2 months, but I want to tell you something. By the time I got home, I was crying so hard in my car, I couldn't see out the window to drive. No, sir. If that's your testimony, well, I drink and run around and carouse and I'm into all this stuff, man, on the internet and pornography, and I can do all that, Pastor. And I know I'm born again, going to heaven. Doesn't bother me in the least. You're not born again. You die, you're going to bust hell wide open. If you'll take salvation, and if you'll put it in a new bottle, it'll swell you with joy. That lifestyle will swell with it. And you know what somebody's going to be calling you? And that guy has become a Christian. A Christ one. But if you try to take new life and put it in an old bottle, tab A is not made to fit slot D. Does that make sense to you all? Makes all the sense to me in the world. So wonderful to be saved. It's even more wonderful when you take that salvation and put it into a lifestyle that fits it. Now don't go home mad. Well, you might go home mad, but don't stay mad. Oh, I'm never coming back to that place again. Well, then we'll know who you are. We know. We'll know something came real close to the fence post. Won't we? Yeah, you know what they said about Billy Sunday? They said, I don't want to go hear that evangelist, man. He rubs the fur of the cat the wrong way. They said, turn the cat around. If you're going home mad, that's okay. I understand that. I can't say that I haven't gone home mad from some preaching services, but go home and think and pray. And read your Bible and see if you don't agree that tab A is made to fit slot A. New wine is made for new bottles. If you're not saved, man, new life in Christ, it's wonderful. Let's pray together. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Let me talk to you just for a minute with your head bowed and eyes closed, please, this morning. Who would say, Pastor Angel, pray for me. The Spirit of God spoke to my heart this morning. I'm saved. I know it. On the way to heaven, where I'm sitting, the Spirit of God came by my pew this morning and really spoke to my heart specifically about something. I want to put this new wine into a new bottle. I want to keep this new wine in a new bottle. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand, please, all over the room? Slip it up and let's take it right back down. God bless you. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you. Take your hands down. Who's here this morning would say, Brother Angel, I could not lift my hand just then. In fact, I don't even know that I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. If I died, I don't know where I'd go. I don't know whether I'd go to heaven or hell. I'm as confused. I'm ignorant about it. I have no assurance that I'm going to heaven when I die. Pray for me. Am I going to ask you to join Faith Baptist Church? Am I going to ask you to become a Baptist? I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. If you're not sure that you're saved, would you at least put your hand up this morning? Let me pray for you. Just slip your hand up in the air, and I'll see it. You take it right back down. I see a young child's hand, somebody else. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. Anybody else? Not sure that I'm saved. Somebody else? Not sure that I'm saved. All right? If you're here this morning, you've been saved but not baptized in deep water since you've been saved. Pastor, I need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Maybe you came this morning to obey Christ in that matter. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, would you please raise your hand or would you come? That's right, you come right now. God bless you, those of you that came this morning. Preparation for baptism, would you come, please? All the way down to the front, that's right. God bless you, folks. That's wonderful. Come on down. Brother Caleb, help them out there. Very good. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And we're ready now, Scott and Linda, to help these folks back and get ready for baptism. Maybe you didn't come prepared to get baptized, but you'd say, Pastor, I've been saved but not baptized. I didn't come prepared to get baptized this morning, but I'd like to talk to somebody about it. Anybody like that this morning? I didn't come to get baptized, but I sure like to talk to somebody about it. Anybody like that? All right. If you're, say, baptized on your way to heaven, and you've talked to myself or one of these pastoral, one of these men on the staff, pastoral staff, about joining the church, we'd love to have you come if you've made your decision, your choice to join the church. Folks, let me just encourage you. Those of you that raised your hand, those that didn't, those that have got new wine in new bottles right now, keep it there. Keep that new salvation, that new life in Christ.
in that new lifestyle. And you'll be a Christian. You'll be a Christian. It'll show. It'll show. Dear Father, thank you so much for the privilege to preach your word. Speak to us. Help us today to live for you. Encourage everybody in this room. The ones that have been saved for 30 plus years, 40 years, and those that have been saved for 40 days. Encourage us, Lord. Help us to keep the new life in Christ and the new lifestyle, please. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's stand, please. No one's looking. Ladies, play us a song of invitation. If you want to come this morning, kneel here for a moment. You do that quickly while we wait. New wine and new bottles. Life in a new lifestyle. A lifestyle designed to fit that new life.